It is in this passage that the messianic time begins, and our Lord begins his public life. The calling of the apostles, St. Matthew brings in, it's appropriate at this time to talk about it. Of course, St. Matthew was writing for the Jewish people, and so he mentions the calling of four of the extraordinary apostles. He doesn't mention the rest. And he's not concerned with detail. He wants them to get the gist of what the significance of what had happened. St. John, on the other hand, when he wrote his gospel, says the same thing in a different way. With St. John, and I suspect it was probably more accurate because he was writing for a different group and in a different situation. But he has Andrew as a disciple of John the Baptist, and when Andrew sees Jesus, he's so taken by him, he goes and calls his brother Peter and tells him that he's seen the Messiah, and he brings Peter with him. It's a fuller explanation, and it shows the charity of Andrew with his brother. I mean, he loved his brother, and when he found this great good, he wanted to share it with him. But the reality is there. Isaiah prophesied that the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. With Isaiah, it was a prophecy. With Jesus, it was fulfillment. That prophecy was being fulfilled at that moment. The great light had appeared. The great light of truth. Jesus came to proclaim the truth because he is the truth personified. And so, the truth is simply the correspondence with our intellect, with what is before it. Excuse me. That's just it. And therefore, it doesn't go away. The lie is a fiction. And sooner or later, it's seen for what it is. But the truth will always, eventually, show up because it's the only thing that really is. How many, many, many people have tried to avoid the truth or to hide it? And sooner or later, it is revealed. Twenty years ago, abortion seemed to be, the legalizing of abortion seemed to be an impossible thing to effect. We were doomed with this decree, and it brought a real cloud over our country and our world. And yet, on Friday, half a million people came to Washington in support of life. And after so many years, finally, a U.S. president came to the event and supported life. Who would have thought? But it happened. And so many of the people there were young. And that was true yesterday in San Francisco as well. Not as big a group. They didn't come from the whole country, but from certainly the West. When I was stationed in San Francisco a number of years ago at St. Dominic's, I used to have to go to Mount Zion Hospital every day. I'd get a list of all the Catholics, and I'd visit them and offer them the sacraments. And and I knew that abortions took place there. Intellectually, I knew it, but I never saw any evidence of it until this particular day when a man approached me and asked me, first of all, his wife was going to have an abortion the next day, And I went to the room where she was in the bed, and the doctors were talking to her, and I was at the foot of the bed talking to the husband, and the husband said, Father, could you bless the baby before tomorrow? And I said, you want me to bless your baby before you kill it? And he said, can you do that? I mean, he ignored what I had just said. Of course he was ignoring it. But the truth was there. I said, is there anything I can do to prevent this from happening? This is your child. I said, call me. I'm at St. Dominic's. I'll be praying. And they didn't really allow me to go and talk to her. The doctors were talking to her. And my head was spinning. That's all I could think of. I went home that night. I prayed and prayed, and I felt so helpless. And it made me realize what some men go through when their wives decide to have an abortion and they have no recourse. They just have to let it happen. The next day, of course, it was done, and that was it. Then a number of years later, when I was in Los Angeles at St. Dominic's there, I was standing outside of the church after Mass. People were coming out, and a lady came up to me, and she said, she had a little girl with her, and she said, Father, could you bless my daughter? She hasn't been well lately. And I said, well, why don't we just go over to the parish office? It's so noisy here. There were people all over us. And so we went over, and she said, you know, Father, when I was pregnant with her, I went to confession to you, and I was planning on having her aborted, but you said something that that changed my mind. You told me about this lady, this elderly lady, and I didn't remember hearing her confession, but I remembered the story that I had given. I told her it was true. When I was in San Francisco, and I was going to Mount Zion Hospital one day, there was an elderly lady that I would come in, as I always did with the patients, and Catholic patients, and I said, I was Father Vincent from St. Dominic's, and I'd be happy to give you the sacraments. And it was always one of those thank you, Father, but no thank you kind of things. And one day I got back to the priory, and Sister Lucille, who was the receptionist, said, Father, this lady wants to see you at the hospital. I said, well, I was just there. I saw her. She said, no, she just called and she wants to see you. So I said, okay. So I turned around and I went back. What I hadn't realized is that every time I saw her, there were other people in the room. So when I got there, she was by herself. And she said, Father, I'm 85 and I don't have much more time. When I was young, I had an abortion, and I always told myself that it was okay, but I have to get this off my chest. Down deep, I always knew it was wrong, and I want to make my peace with God. So I absolved her, and she was free of that sin. She found freedom at last through the truth. And so this young woman, when I told her that, I told her, don't be that lady. And now, of course, as I thought about it later, if one is going to have an abortion, the last person you're going to go and tell is a Catholic priest, unless you want him to encourage you to not have it, which I'm sure is what would happen. But when I looked at that little girl and realized that she could have not been, and here she was alive, and she's a sweet little thing, it made me realize all the more what an evil the taking of innocent human life is, and how the world is lessened by this sort of thing. But it is a matter of the truth. And eventually the truth is acknowledged, and it's this particular truth, and it's such a basic one, is being acknowledged more and more and more. But it's not just that. You know, we live in, as Isaiah said, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. Excuse me. And Christ is that light. Our culture is very, very dark right now. Not a lot of light in it. It's not just abortion. It's all the gender stuff, the so-called gay marriage. It's all these things that are so blatantly wrong, and yet people accept them because they don't think there's anything else that can be done, especially when one finds it in one's own family. What do we say? We don't want to turn our backs on the people we love, but speaking the truth is not turning one's back. The truth is the greatest thing we have to give to one another. And I've seen it in my own family. I remember my mother and my aunt was marrying someone else's husband, a brother-in-law. It was a terrible thing she was doing, and she didn't want to look at it. And I remember I was sick. I could hear them arguing in the next room. And my mother telling her, "May God have mercy on your soul." Eventually, my aunt attempted this marriage, and it was about a year or two after the man became ill with cancer, and on his deathbed renounced to my aunt as his wife, received the sacraments, and died in the church. And my aunt eventually acknowledged to my mother that she was right. Now, my mother wasn't trying to be right. She just didn't want to encourage something that was sinful. This is what God expects of us in our lives. And He takes care of us. To speak the truth will never do us harm. This is why we're here. To recognize Jesus, the truth, and to act according to what He asks of us. So we have a lot on our hands. We have a lot to look at honestly and recognize that truth is powerful and it's not going away, even when it's not acknowledged. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light, and that light is Jesus Christ, whom we come here to acknowledge. Let us let this light fill us and extend to everyone we meet, particularly to those we love the most. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.